But maybe tomorrow, John chapter 11. It is, of course, the portion of Scripture concerning the death and resurrection of Lazarus. And this being a resurrection day, we want to think about that theme. We want to commence to read at verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Amen. And we know that God always blesses the reading of his word. Let's just bow for a moment. Travel through our life. There will be various circumstances that will cross our pathways in life that we not understand. Sometimes things creep into our life, sickness, disease, illness, care and afflictions, toils and troubles. And they come our way, and as we look at it, we don't understand, nor do we understand why. We can't explain it. I look at some of the circumstances in my own life concerning myself and members of my family. And if you ever take a big jigsaw, maybe of 1,000 pieces, and empty it out of the box into the middle of the floor, it just looks like a mess. And it's only whenever you start going through those little pieces and trying to build up the picture that the picture itself becomes more clear. It's all of those little pieces coming together that makes the big picture. And as we look at our life sometimes, they're like a jigsaw. All of the little pieces of our life. All of the different avenues, all of the different ways and the different paths and the different troubles in life, they all come together and they make the big picture. That big picture is our life. Some of us have a bigger picture than others. Some of us live longer than others. Here were 2 sisters and trouble had come into their life. We can be sure of 2 things in life, sickness and death. Sometimes it comes into a member of our family. Sometimes it comes to us. Death will come to us all, of course, but sometimes there are those who travel through life and they always seem to escape sickness. There seems to be those people who will say, Oh, I've never been at the doctor. I haven't been at the doctor in I don't know how many years. And then there are those who are always going to the doctor. Sometimes these things happen to us or a loved one. And as these things happen to us and those around us in our lives, it brings sadness and sorrow, and so it should. In this day and age, it seems to be that there are those who are constantly sick. How many times have you heard of somebody that has had cancer? It seems to be the old and the young, all of the time. These things will always be with us. In John chapter 11, this family is just the same as any other family. There are 2 sisters and 1 brother. We are not told of any other members in the family, but it's Lazarus and his 2 sisters, Mary and Martha. They lived in a place called Bethany. Bethany was a little village about 2 miles from Jerusalem. This family was a privileged family because the Lord Jesus Christ lodged with them. What a privilege that was to have the Lord Jesus Christ staying with you in your home. As he travelled, he would have stopped off and stayed with them. He just loved coming into their home. He felt welcome. He felt at ease. There was a friendship and a fondness that developed between him and them. He enjoyed being in their home. I wonder, are our homes homes that the Lord Jesus Christ would love to be in? He could sit with us as we sit in our sitting room, as we watch television, as we read the books, as we read the newspapers, as we talk one to another. Do we talk with a gracious heart? Do we talk to each other with love in our heart? Is our homes that the Lord would feel comfortable being in with us? Mary and Martha and Lazarus would have known a lot about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure as he was there in their home, he talked to them about where he had been, the things that he had done, the people that he had seen. They developed a very close friendship with the Lord. These two sisters and one brother, they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loved them. It wasn't just a friendship, but it was a love and a fondness. It was deeper than a friendship. And then one day there was tragedy struck this home, because Lazarus died. And this happy, this peaceful home, tragedy come into it, uninvited, unwelcomed, unexpected. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why does tragedy come into our home when we least expect it? And we don't want tragedy in our home. We don't want grief. We don't want anguish. And it comes in. For a short while today, we want to think about the tragedy that came to this home and how the Lord undertook for this family. We see the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we want to notice is the distressing news that was sent. The distressing news that was sent. We are told in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, that's the Lord, they sent a message to the Lord saying, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In chapter 10 of the book of John, we discover that the Lord is teaching and conversing with the multitude. He is far away from them. He's talking with those all around him until he receives this terrible message that Lazarus, the one that he loves, the one that he loves dearly, is sick. Mary and Martha had sent word to the Lord with a messenger because they believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one person that could help them in their time of grief, in their time of trial, in their time of testing. The brother, the one that we love, the one that you love, Lord, he's sick. He's not well. They realized his condition and it was serious. They had a close friendship with the Lord and they sent for him, Lord, we need you to come. He whom thou lovest is sick. Here was a man who was loved by Christ. Here was a man who loved Christ. And our love offered to Christ is feeble and worthless. You know, maybe you're here today and you say that you're a Christian. And maybe you think that you're a really good Christian. You know, whatever love that we can offer to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is absolutely nothing compared to the love that he gave for us. The love that he has for us. He loved us so much that he died on the cross at Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave himself for us. Our love is nothing compared to the marvelous and matchless love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today on this Resurrection Sunday, on this day when we remember the risen Lord, I wonder, do you know anything about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Jesus died on the cross for you. He died for your sin. Do you love him today as your Savior? His love to us is and should be everything. It should be the most precious thought and the most precious possession that we have. As a Christian, as we think about the love of Christ, it should thrill our hearts. Does it thrill your heart today that Jesus died for you and he saved you? Does it thrill your heart today to know that one day when you leave this scene of time, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord? It tells us in John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Whenever the Lord receives this message in verse 4, his response was somewhat strange. The disciples probably were surprised when Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us here, he remained a further 2 days in this place where he was. You'd have thought the thing for him to have done was to left immediately, to go immediately to the aid of Lazarus. What do we do whenever we're sent for? Whenever we hear the news that a loved one, a family member isn't well, or they're in trouble, or something is, you go straight away, if you can at all. You go straight away. You know, whenever we think of this old disease of sin, the Bible tells us sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death is something that we all must face. And we all here today are born in sin. That old disease of sin, it will take us to death. Death is something that we all must face. Death is something that we ought maybe not to look forward to. I talk to people on the doors and they say, I don't want to die. I'm having too good a time down here. I have too much to do. I have too much to look after. I'm enjoying this life too much. Death is something that we are all sure of. And here was Lazarus. And the Lord remains a further 2 days. And then the word comes to him that Lazarus is dead. Lazarus has died. In verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Plainly. There's nothing complicated about it. He just declared simply, Lazarus is dead. You know, I wonder whenever it comes your time to die, and people stand back, the doctors, the nurses, whoever, the family, and they are told plainly, and there's not really a complicated way in telling you that somebody has died. The Lord here stood back and he said plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. You know, I wonder if it was to be declared concerning you today that you had died. I wonder if this news was to be announced about you, where would your soul be? I wonder, would it be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Would your death bring glory to God? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Every single time a Christian dies, every single time a Christian passes away, it brings glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, would your death bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord? Or I wonder, would your death bring sadness and sorrow to those left behind, because they know that you're not ready to die. You know, there is a peace and there is a comfort whenever you stand at the graveside of somebody who has left a testimony behind, somebody who has professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is a comfort and that assurance to know that it's absent from the body and present with the Lord, and their death brings glory to the name of Christ. But think of the sadness and the grief and the anguish to stand at the open graveside of somebody who isn't saved, somebody who left no testimony, somebody who never professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I wonder today if it was to be announced tonight. Our brother in the announcement sympathized with those who had lost loved ones. I wonder if your death was to be announced tonight. Sympathy was to be passed to your family. I wonder, where would your soul be? Where would your soul be? Would you have died in Christ? Would you have died having had Christ as your Savior? Verse 23, Jesus says to Martha, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Lord Jesus Christ was saying, Lazarus will live again. And I wonder, if you were to die, if you were to pass out from this scene of time into God's great eternity, would you live again? Would you have life, eternal life in heaven? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Though he were dead, physically dead, dead in sin, dead in trespasses and in sin, he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he trusts Christ as his Savior, he shall live. He shall have life eternal in heaven. As Lazarus was dead, so was the sinner. Friend, today, if you're here today and you're not saved, the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and in sins in Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. The terrible news concerning Lazarus was that he had died. First of all, he wasn't well. Next thing, he had died. Well, friend, today, here you are, and you're dead in your trespasses and in sins. That's the distressing news that we have to tell you today. But notice with me also the arrival and the visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have said already the Lord remained where he was for two further days. On arriving, Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. It tells us that in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse 19, we notice that Mary and Martha had many there. There were many people around them trying to bring comfort to them. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. I wonder if you died today, what would the comfort be that we would offer to your family? Would we be able to say, listen, your brother's in heaven today. I visited a lady yesterday who lost a family member not that long ago. I said, listen, he's in a better land today. He's in heaven with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder what type of comfort would we try and offer to you? Would it be a comfort of a lost soul? Or would it be the comfort knowing that your family member has went to heaven? They wanted to be in the Lord's presence. They wanted the Lord to be with them because the Lord brings comfort. The Lord brings reassurance. The Lord tells them that Lazarus is going to rise. The Lord told them that Lazarus would live again. Sinner dead in your sin today, will you live? Will you live today? Will you come on this resurrection Lord's day and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Will you live? Will you have life more abundant in Jesus today? As Christ visits this home in John chapter 11, he visits us here today in Coleraine with salvation outstretched to you today. He offers you salvation. I wonder, will you trust Christ as your own and personal Savior? Verse 28 of the chapter, you'll notice, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Lord was there and he was calling after her. She comes, she tells her, she says, listen, the Master is come. He's calling for you. Mary never came to see the Lord, but the Lord wanted to see her. And here you are today in Coleraine, and the Lord's calling for you. He's calling you unto himself in salvation. I wonder, will you come? I wonder, will you come and trust the Lord as your Savior? Verse 29, it tells us, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. The Lord is calling you today in salvation. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. The tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. He is risen from the dead. He's seated in heaven today. Jesus died for your sin that you might live. He's calling for you today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation of salvation is for you. I wonder, will you come? What did Mary do in verse 29? As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. And time after time, week after week, year after year, meeting after meeting, you have heard that message. You know that Jesus died on the cross. You know that you're born in sin. You know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But you're not like Mary. You're not rising quickly. You're not going quickly to meet the Lord as she did. He's here today and he's calling for you. I wonder, will you come? Unsaved person, when the Lord comes to you, he's calling out to you, offering to you salvation. It's an individual call. He's calling you. He's calling you. Don't you sit there and say about your man up at the front, or your woman at the back, or your man in the gallery, or your woman on that other side of the church. That's a good message for them. It's to you. The invitation of salvation is to you today. I wonder, will you trust him as your own and personal Savior? We have noticed the distress of the news that was sent. We have noticed the arrival of Christ. But notice with me in closing, the miracle that was wrought. The miracle that was wrought. Jesus himself was full of compassion. He was a Lord that loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. In verse 33 it tells us, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then in verse 34 he asked them, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And look at verse 35. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus was full of sorrow. Jesus felt and understood their grief. He knew the heaviness of their heart. He knew the trouble that they were passing through because Jesus himself was weeping. And here today in Korean, Jesus knows all about your troubles. Jesus knows about the heaviness of your heart. Jesus knows about what you've done. Jesus knows about the things that you've said. He knows all about you today. And he feels, he has compassion on you. I wonder today, will you come? Here at this graveside, they were weeping. They were weeping that Lazarus had died. You ever stood at the graveside? You ever looked at the tears filling the eyes of those people as they watched the earthly remains of their loved one being lowered down into Mother Earth? It's a solemn place. It's a sad place. But I wonder if we were to stand at your graveside, I wonder would we weep? You see, Jesus was weeping here for the sorrow and the loss of Mary and Martha. I wonder if we were to stand at your graveside, would we be weeping for the sorrow of the loss for your family? Or would we stand and weep at your graveside because of the loss of your soul? If we were to stand at your graveside, would we have to say, I don't know where they are. I hope they're in heaven, but I don't know. And that would be our sorrow. It's because we don't know where your soul would be. Or would we stand there and would we weep because of the sorrow and the loss of your family? You ever go in through a graveyard? I go through graveyards sometimes and I read the headstones. And I love to see on a headstone the words called home. Because it's then that you know the person has been called home and they're in heaven. Jesus in verse 35 had a sorrowful heart. In verse 36, those people around him, they noticed then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. They stood back and they watched the Lord and they said, look how much the Lord Jesus loved Lazarus. He's weeping. He's weeping. They clearly understood. I wonder today, do you know that Jesus loves you? Jesus has a heavy heart because you're not saved. He has a sorrowful spirit because you're not trusting him as your Savior. This introduces a great miracle here because in verse 39, it tells us, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. What was going to happen was going to bring glory and honor to the name of God. Those that would see this would truly believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Verse 43, we notice, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Do you ever read that verse and notice something in it? It tells us there that Jesus cried with a loud voice. Jesus cried with a loud voice. Jesus could have called Lazarus forth with a quiet voice. Jesus could have called him with a whisper. Jesus could have beckoned and Lazarus could have come forth, but he didn't. He cried with a loud voice. He called loudly because he was calling Lazarus back from the dead. This has similarities to the call of salvation. Today Jesus calls you to come out of your trespasses and your sins. He's calling you to come out of those which are dead in their trespasses and their sins. Maybe today he's calling you. This call to Lazarus was short and loud. It was short and it was loud. And here Jesus is today to you, calling for you to come and trust him as your Savior, to look to Calvary, to look to what he did at the cross. He died and he rose again that you might go free. What if he were to call short? What if he were to call loud? How many times did the Lord call Lazarus? He called him once. Did you notice that? He called him once. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That was it. He called him once. And in verse 44, and he that was dead came forth. Called once, and Lazarus came forth. He called him once, but he called him loudly. And I wonder today in Korean, and with this as we finish off the message today, I wonder how loud is the Lord going to have to call you before you listen? Maybe sickness, maybe death, maybe tragedy will come into your home before you sit back and listen. You're sailing along in your little boat, chug, chug, chug through life. And everything's going so well. Everything's going so fine. You don't need God. But all the while, He's calling you to come unto Him in salvation. All the while, you know that Jesus died for you on the cross. But all the while, you're saying no. What if He was to stop calling? The Bible says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I wonder how many times more will Jesus Christ knock at your heart's door before He stops and turns and walks away because you have said no so many times. God called loudly. I wonder how loud is God going to have to call you before you come. God speaks loudly through death, through circumstance, through illness, through sickness, through tragedy. And each time God has been gracious. Each time, every time He takes a child of His home to be with Him, He spares your life a little while more. Can't you see that God is speaking loudly to you? Don't you think you should listen? Offered to you today is salvation, having your sins forgiven. Don't ignore Him today, but come quickly. Lazarus was resurrected. Lazarus lived again. He was given life. And in verse 25 of John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ says, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus Christ was saying here that Lazarus would live again, and that He would be the means by which Lazarus would live. In other words, it was going to be Jesus that would give Lazarus his life. And here you are today, and Jesus is the only way and the only means by which you can live again. Because He died on the cross, because He rose again, He is the only one that can forgive us of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted Martha not to have thoughts about the resurrection of Lazarus for natural life, but the resurrection to eternal life. Jesus was born and died and rose again that we might live. He died and He rose again that we might have eternal life. Will you be resurrected today out of your sin? Will you have life more abundant in Jesus? I want you to turn over just in closing to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 63. Here in this portion they were saying that the Lord Jesus Christ was a deceiver. He was the one that had said that He would rise again. The words in verse 63 tells us, "After 3 days I will rise again," saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver," that's Christ they're calling the deceiver, "said while He was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" Jesus died on the cross. He has been buried in the tomb. "I will rise after 3 days." What does it tell us in verse, on down into chapter 28? Verse 6, "He is not here, for He is risen." We serve a risen Lord today. Christ has risen. He's risen. He's had the victory over death. We serve a risen Lord today. He's in heaven. He died that we might go free. He rose again triumphant on the third day. Tell me today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He called him once and He called loudly. I wonder, is He calling you today to come unto Him in salvation? I wonder, will you come and have life on this resurrection day? I trust you'll come and know Him as your Savior, to be your own and personal friend, to have your sins washed away, and have that assurance and that joy and that peace of heaven deep within your heart. Let's pray.